it is important for you to find a reference source which lists each food's glycemic index. One can be found in the book this recording is based upon. A food's glycemic index is the amount that it increases your blood sugar compared to the amount that the same quantity of white bread would increase it. The foods with lower numbers will cause your blood sugar to rise and then fall more slowly than the foods with higher numbers will. Numerous studies have shown that low glycemic foods satisfy your hunger longer and minimize your food cravings better. In phase one of the South Beach diet, you should only choose foods with a low glycemic index. Later on, after you've gone through the rapid weight loss phase, you can start mixing in foods with higher numbers. However, still follow the other rules of the diet. Even though low-fat milk and peanut M&Ms have the same glycemic index, the milk is a much better nutritional choice. Because this diet is designed to be practical and user-friendly, it's easy to stick to the rules even if you dine out. This is not usually the case for weight loss plans, which is why it is so important to us that the South Beach diet work no matter who does the cooking. The dining out dilemma was especially painful for people on low-fat regimens. You either had to give the wait staff the third degree, what are your chicken breasts sautéed in, what exactly is in the vinaigrette, or you had to bring your own food and hope no one objected. Even if they didn't, there was something sad about seeing healthy adults hovering over Tupperware containers while their table mates enjoyed fine dinners. The overall trend in restaurant food over the past few decades has been toward healthy and fresh. Olive oil is now an American staple. Every day it seems we read more about the benefits of certain fish. Menus include lots of grilled items and few that are fried. As a result, it's not hard to eat out when you're on the South Beach diet. Of course, you have to watch what you're doing, but eating out is a good time to indulge in the things you love most, if only because doing so makes it a little easier to be moderate the rest of the time. There are a few strategies, many of which we've learned from patients, that can help you eat wisely even when you're out on the town. Here's a simple one. Eat something 15 minutes before you arrive at the restaurant. Just a little snack, a protein of some kind. A piece of low-fat cheese is good because you can carry it in your handbag or briefcase. It will begin the process of filling you up so that when it's time to order, you won't do so feeling ravenous. I recommend this also because it will help you get beyond the most treacherous part of any restaurant meal, the breadbasket. Typically, you arrive, you're hungry, and there it is, fresh, perhaps warm and fragrant, and loaded with bad carbs. It won't really do much to satisfy your hunger, but it will jolt your bloodstream with glucose and set you up for reactive hypoglycemia and cravings for the rest of the evening. Many people on the diet take the preemptive measure of telling the waiter to skip the breadbasket altogether, which is a great idea as long as your fellow diners don't mind. If they do, you can always ask them to take their bread, then banish the basket. Here's another good idea for the moment you arrive. Order soup, preferably a clear broth or consommé. The point of this, besides being filling, is that it extends your eating time. That's a good idea because there's a lag between when your belly begins to fill and when your brain notices it, maybe 20 minutes, the experts say. This fact explains why it's so easy to reach the point where you feel uncomfortably stuffed, especially today when speed is valued in both the preparation and consumption of food. This is a real danger. We eat so fast that we zoom right by the point of satiety and keep feeding ourselves until all of a sudden we feel like we'll explode. Starting a meal with broth begins the process of satisfying your hunger and initiates the signals to your brain that you are on the road to fullness. Anything that takes the edge off your hunger now is good because it will keep you from eating more than you really need in a little while when the food arrives. If you peeked inside the breadbasket and found a piece of the good whole grain variety, you may decide to indulge yourself. If you do, dip it in olive oil, which will slow down the absorption of the starches and contribute to your feeling of fullness. As we said earlier, bread with oil or even a little butter is better for your diet than bread alone because the oil slows digestion, despite the fact that you're adding calories. Here's another tip. Go to restaurants serving Mediterranean-style food. I don't just mean Italian. In fact, Italian restaurants can be dangerous because of how pasta and bread tend to dominate the meal. I'm thinking of Greek and Middle Eastern food. These are cuisines that employ lots of olive oil, which is always a plus. You can have hummus, paste made from chickpeas, on pita bread, which is a big improvement over white bread and butter, and is more flavorful too. You'll find good whole grains such as tabbouleh and couscous, which take the place of potatoes or rice. And usually, these cuisines rely on spices and condiments rather than sweeteners to make the dishes taste good. And if you do go Italian, try and structure the meal the way they do in Italy, in courses, with a modest serving of al dente pasta topped with a healthy tomato sauce, followed by a main course of meat or fish and fresh vegetables, including either leafy green ones like escarole or spinach or crucifers like broccoli, plus a salad dressed in olive oil. In Italy, you don't sit down in front of a huge dish of pasta with a bottomless bread basket and call it dinner. That's why Italians can eat pasta twice a day and not suffer the obesity rates we see in the United States. In many restaurants here, you can request a half order of pasta as your appetizer. If you try this, you'll see that it satisfies. It's important to eat enough good fats, the entree and the olive oil, and good carbs, the vegetables and the salads, to counter the starches in the pasta. We all tend to assume that restaurants serving Asian food are by definition healthy. The various Asian national diets tend to be heavy on fish and vegetables, light on heavy meats or sweets. But that's not always the case in Asian American restaurants. One major difference is portion size. We are accustomed to a lot more food on our plates, and because everybody hates waste, we tend to finish what's there. Another significant difference is in the rice. Asians have always used the whole grain, meaning the fiber is there too, and your digestive system has to work to get at the starch. In this country, and even increasingly in Asian cities, a more processed variety of white rice is used. That change substantially increases the glycemic load of a meal. Something else you may not realize. MSG, the flavoring agent, is made from beets, which are a healthy vegetable but have a very high glycemic index. They're loaded with sugar, in other words, though it is disguised fairly well in your average Chinese takeout dinner. Stay away from rice or potatoes in any restaurant. Order a double serving of the vegetables instead, and never order anything that's fried. Roasted, broiled, braised, baked, steamed, even sautéed, all right. If there's a sauce, ask for it on the side. That doesn't mean you won't have any, but I guarantee that you'll be satisfied using half of what they would have ladled on. As for drinks, start with water as soon as you're seated, but feel free to have a glass or two of red wine, which is actually good for your health and not terribly fattening, instead of white wine, spirits, or worst of all, beer. For dessert, don't be too hard on yourself. If you eat out 4 times a week, you need to say no most of the time. But if it feels like a special event, make the most of it. If fresh fruit would do the trick, have that. If fruit with ice cream is what you need, that's fine too. You can ask for them in separate dishes and make your own dessert using 3 teaspoons of ice cream topped by fresh fruit. If only the most decadent chocolate cake will suffice, go ahead and order it, along with enough forks for everyone at the table. Have 3 bites only and eat them as slowly as possible. Then send the rest away with the first passing busboy. Try this experiment at home. Have 3 bites of any dessert, then stop and put the rest aside for a few minutes. You'll see that it is as satisfying as if you had eaten the whole thing, and you'll still respect yourself in the morning. Of course, all this presupposes that you're eating in a normal sit-down restaurant. But the fact is that most American dining out these days is done in fast food places. It's hard to think of any strategy that might actually help there. Everything seems to conspire to deliver the worst meal possible, at least from our perspective. Start by eliminating all the main attractions. No burgers, too many saturated fats in the meat and cooking oil, too many carbs in the bun. No fish either, since the breading and the cooking method make it even more fattening than the burger. No fries, the worst part of the meal from the glycemic index point of view, both potatoes and the ketchup. No soda, which is a pure sugar rush. Look at how fast food restaurants emphasize their worst fare. Even the offer to supersize is simply a way to sell you excessive amounts of the cheapest part of the meal, the soda and fries. The emphasis in fast food is on big, sweet, fat, and fast, everything that has made obesity such a problem in America today. If you can visit a fast food restaurant and limit yourself to salad with oil and vinegar instead of any other dressing, and plain grilled chicken breast in the places that serve it, accompanied by water or coffee, you can do all right. Chicken nuggets or fried chicken are bad news. Like the fish, there are a lot of deep-fried bread over a little meat, which has been cooked in a trans-fatty substance. Otherwise, you can't really eat at these places and follow any sort of healthful diet. That's no surprise, is it?